We love swans, you know?
Love swans. Do we? Because I feel like
I think they're nasty. One,
I feel like one ran after me once.
Yeah, I do think they're pretty nasty.
So, redacted. Hate swans.
Oh my God, we hate swans.
Hate swans.
Oh, Dawson, look, there's your mom. Back to you, Bob. Accept your perfect life, Dawson.
Continues to
982. Back to you, Bob.
Hello, and welcome to Back to You, Bob, a Dawson's Creek podcast. We are your hosts, Christina and Micah, and this is episode 405, A Family Way, which originally aired on November 1st, 2000.
We're into November, thank God.
We've got that candy hangover.
I feel like we were in October for a long time.
Yeah, I agree with you, but we're out of it now.
Praise God.
Barreling towards the holidays.
In November 1st, back in that day, it was just November 1st. It was just the day after Halloween. Rent wasn't due. The mortgage wasn't due.
Take me back. I was angstier then than I am now. What was my problem?
Now, the first of the month, a nightmare.
Truly.
Well, what's our Dawson's drink to get us through this episode?
Our Dawson's drink today is the Soccer Mom. It is Cointreau, fresh squeezed orange juice, club soda, and Angostura bitters. I mean, who doesn't like a little orange juice cocktail?
And you know what I like about this Dawson's drink you chose is that it hits on two levels, which we will get into in the recap, which I guess I'll just dive into.
Please do. Dive in. Show everyone how deep I am.
Well, this is episode 405 of Family Way, and it opens at Leary's Fresh Fish, where Dawson and Mitch are urging Gail to go home and rest since she's still sick. As we know from last episode, both Mitch and Gail had the flu. Only now Mitch is recovered, but Gail hasn't. She refuses to go home. But when Gretchen arrives and lists a series of things that have gone wrong at the restaurant, things that likely wouldn't have happened if Gail weren't sick, she finally agrees to go home and rest. With Gail gone, Gretchen suggests that maybe Gail isn't sick at all. Maybe she's pregnant. So while Mitch and Dawson anxiously await Gail's pregnancy test outside the bathroom, it turns out it's positive. Dawson is stunned and he has to leave to go start painting Mr. Brooks's house to make up for damaging it while rescuing Pacey and Jen. And his reaction does not go unnoticed to Mitch and Gail. Meanwhile, Pacey and Joey are hooking up when he suddenly stops. Joey wants to continue, but Pacey insists that for once, he wants to be the one to say no, because she always gets to decide when to say no and stop, and he finds it frustrating. He gets to decide when to say no and to stop. So Joey asks if they're having a fight, and Pacey reassures her that everything's fine. He's just choosing to stop. So later, Joey confides in Jen, admitting she feels like Pacey's getting really impatient for sex. Jen insists that's impossible because Pacey loves her, but Joey admits that even she's getting impatient. She wants to take that step, but she just doesn't know if she's ready. So Jen suggests Joey visit the free clinic to get information and prepare herself, saying that in New York, going to the clinic is practically a rite of passage. So while there, the nurse asks Joey a series of detailed questions about the risks of sex, whether her partner is monogamous, if he has STDs, if they plan to use protection, etc. Joey trusts Pacey, of course, but these questions start to get in her head, making her wonder if she's actually ready for everything that comes with sex. So the nurse ends up giving Joey tons of protection and sends her on her way. Meanwhile, Mitch and Gail discuss whether they're truly ready to be parents again. Mitch believes they are, but Gail isn't so sure. They're not spring chickens anymore, and do they really want to spend the next 20 years chasing after a child? And what about everything they put Dawson through these last few years? Mitch is convinced they'll never go down that road again, but Gail says never say never. She brings up the possibility of terminating the pregnancy, saying it's not too late to decide. So while Dawson's painting Mr. Brooks's house, Mr. Brooks stumbles upon his photographs, and he gives Dawson some harsh, unsolicited feedback, calling them amateurish and pedestrian. Cold, unemotional, lacking spark. Later, Dawson vents to Gretchen about everything, who reassures him that his pictures are great. Their conversation turns to Gail, and Dawson reveals that Gretchen was right. His mom is pregnant. Gretchen is not surprised to hear this. But Dawson expresses frustration, calling his parents irresponsible for having a baby at their age, given how rocky their marriage has been these last few years. Gretchen helps him see things from Gail's perspective. She's probably terrified. Dawson decides, after this conversation, to apologize to his mom and let his parents know that he supports them. And that's when they let Dawson know the news that she's going to terminate her pregnancy. But now that Dawson's on board, he's very upset. He just came to terms with the idea of having a new sibling. Gail tells Dawson that she knows she was a terrible mother to him these last few years and ruined their family. Dawson insists that she shouldn't use him as a reason not to have this baby, and they get into a horrible fight. Meanwhile, Jack and Andy decide to coach Pee-wee's soccer. Andy's excited, seeing it as an opportunity to teach teamwork and sportsmanship, and of course, it looks great on college applications for Jack. Jack meets a little girl named Molly who hates soccer. Andy tries to get her to open up and bond with her, but she isn't interested. Jack insists by the end of the season, she will not hate soccer. Molly's older sister aggressively flirts with Jack, but instead of admitting he's gay, he awkwardly plays along. Later, he confesses to Andy that he avoided coming out because Capeside is so bigoted, he's afraid people may think a gay man shouldn't work with children. Mitch checks in on a visibly upset Dawson, reminding him that this is Gail's decision. But Dawson presses him on what Mitch wants. Mitch reveals that it took them 3 years to conceive Dawson, something Dawson didn't know. And for 5 years after that, they tried for another child, but it never happened. Mitch always dreamed of having a big family, but eventually he realized their home was already filled with enough love, even if it was just the three of them. And this brings Dawson some comfort. So while putting laundry away, Bessie stumbles upon the condoms Joey got from the clinic, leading to a confrontation in front of everyone staying at the B&B. They exchange barbs, with Joey declaring she hasn't had sex yet, but she will soon. Bessie insists Joey isn't ready. Joey argues that she's the most responsible 17-year-old there is. Later, Bodhi tells Joey that Bessie only cares because she means well. She wants more for Joey than she had herself. He also tells Joey that if she's still wondering whether she should have sex, then she probably isn't ready. Joey later tells Pacey about the clinic visit, and he swears he was just joking about the whole thing. He only brought it up as a way to start the conversation about sex. He has no interest in pressuring her. Joey says she isn't ready, but suggests that just because they aren't having sex doesn't mean there aren't plenty of other things they can be doing. When Molly's sister flirts with Jack again, Andy pretends to be his girlfriend to get him out of it. But Jack had already told Molly's sister that Andy was his sister, so their cover is quickly blown. So Jack is forced to confess that he's gay. This later leads to two boys quitting the team because their parents see Jack as dangerous. Molly lets Jack know this news, and the two of them bond over it. Jack is devastated that despite being a good person, some people still see him as a threat. Andy reassures him that he did the right thing by telling the truth about himself, and he always should. So Dawson tells his parents that he had the best childhood anyone could ever have. Gail is the best mother, and she never messed anything up. He had the childhood he was meant to have, and any child would be lucky to have her as a mother. But Dawson comes to this conclusion by turning to Gretchen, suspecting that she went through something similar to what his mom is facing. And Gretchen confirms that it's true. She got pregnant last semester. She considered an abortion herself, but miscarried before she could decide. This experience deeply affected her, and that's why she took a semester off. Dawson is grateful that she trusted him enough to share this with him. So while Mr. Brooks continues to mock Dawson's photography, he stumbles upon one of the photos that he actually likes. He tells Dawson that this is by far the best one he's seen. It has real emotion and a real connection behind it. He can tell Dawson really bonded with the subject. When Mr. Brooks leaves, Dawson looks at the photo and sees that it's of Gretchen. And that is episode 405, A Family Way.
Wow.
Wow. I love this episode.
We've got soccer. We've got moms.
Yes, soccer mom. The brilliance. The brilliance of it all. Who wrote A Family Way?
This episode was written by Maggie Friedman. As a reminder, she was first with us on episode 319, Neverland. So you can go back and listen to that episode if you want to hear more about her career. And she was last with us for episode 322, The Anti-Prom. She's the one that created Firefly Lane.
Yes. Now, was Neverland an AJ episode? Yes, right?
Neverland is the episode where Pacey and Dawson go camping in the woods and Buzz and his little friends come and crash the party.
We love Maggie Friedman. We love a Maggie Friedman moment. What about the director?
This episode was directed by Nancy Malone, and this is her first and only episode of Dawson's Creek. Actually, let me look up really quickly if she's still alive.
Not still alive.
Correct. She is not still alive. Oh, she is
no.
Dead.
Oh, R.I.P.
R.I.P. Nancy Malone. Nancy Malone was an actress, a director, and a producer. She's kind of like a Lou Antonio type. She does a little bit of everything. She has 80 acting credits from 1950 to 1985. She had a good mix of TV and movies. It's an extensive list, and most of them are before I was born. So please feel free to take a look yourself. Nothing was really jumping out at me, but she had 12 producing credits from 1975 to 2016. The most recent thing she was credited as being a producer on was a film called Little Miss Perfect. perfect. She passed in 2014. So I'm guessing the film was in production in 2014 and then was released in 2016. And then she had 31 directing credits from 1981 to 2004, including episodes of Cagney and Lacey, Beverly Hills 90210, Picket Fences, Touched by an Angel, Star Trek Voyager, Diagnosis Murder. She had 10 episodes of Melrose Place, and she had 15 episodes of Dynasty. So she was out there. She was really doing it.
No notes.
I know. Incredible. How did she have the time?
I have one note, actually, that this I did think this episode felt a little off tone a little bit, but not in a bad way.
You could tell something was different.
It seemed tonally a little different, but it could have been the writing. I mean, there was a lot of pregnancy, abortion, miscarriage talk, and that's like really, I feel like, off base for the show. So not necessarily her fault, but definitely was a little more mature content than I think what we're used to.
Well, yeah. And I feel like generally speaking, when we're doing an episode that has a heavy sex storyline or something controversial or something more adult, it's countered with something lighter, which the soccer is a little bit lighter, but like not enough.
It goes to a heavy place.
And then the other storyline is Joey and sex. So it's like all around, it's heavy on all bases.
It felt very adults, but you know what? These people are seniors in high school.
These people are seniors in high school and they've got to have sex.
Well, thanks, Nancy.
Yeah. Thanks, Nancy. Thanks, Maggie.
This is the guest cast shout out for this episode.
I had a hard time with this. I'm going to split it again, not because they're both standouts, but because they both kind of had equal sized careers. The first I'm going to give it to is Bridget Newton. She plays Caroline Say, who is the older sister that's pursuing Jack. This was one of her first things, but she went on to do episodes of The Drew Carey Show, The OC, Parenthood, House, Justified, Silicon Valley. She's still working. She's a pretty steadily working actress. The other person I'm going to give it to is Carly Schroeder, who plays Molly Say, who is the little sister in that equation. She started acting a couple years before this, actually. She was doing a lot of voice acting. And then she went on to do episodes of Cold Case, Ghost Whisperer, Law & Order SVU. She had 2 episodes of General Hospital, 12 episodes of Lizzie McGuire, and she was in the Lizzie McGuire movie. And she had 201 episodes of Port Charles, which I'm guessing is a General Hospital spinoff.
Yes.
So she was a little soap star.
She played Serena, right?
Correct.
Yes, I remember.
Those little sisters went on to be real actresses.
I love it. I loved them.
Yeah.
Okay, so what about music moment?
I don't have anything for this one, do you?
I really like Just Another by Pete Yorn. I was a really big Pete Yorn fan. He had a lot of music on the teen soap scene, I feel.
I will give him a listen because I can't think of a single song by Pete Yorn, and I'm sure I know some.
He's kind of in that like Ben Harper. I would put him in that category, you know? Well, what do we do now? Past versus present.
Past versus present. I don't really have anything outside of it being heavy.
Look, it wouldn't pass the 2025 test, this episode, for sure. There's a lot of like woman's choice issues.
They're talking about it.
Dawson's basically like, your body, my choice. Yeah. Mom, I don't care what you want. I want a sibling and you're going to give it to me. And then when Gail decides she wants to terminate the pregnancy, he's like, but Dad, what do you want? Like male rights.
And then when Gretchen is like, I went through the most traumatic thing ever, got pregnant and then had a miscarriage. He's like, yeah, but what would you have done? Would you have had an abortion? I need to know.
Well, he basically goes to her and is like, I have a suspicion you went through the same thing my mom went through. Did you have an abortion?
He's pretty classic Dawson in this episode.
He is classic Dawson.
All about me. It's all about me.
It is all about him. And I don't know, it was just an episode that could only be made in the 90s or early aughts, I guess. Look, it was wild.
It was wild, and we'll talk about it. Let's talk about it.
You know what else? Everything that Mitch wore in this episode is not only passing now, it is like in trend. Like it's at H&M, it's at Zara.
I feel like, what's her name too? Caroline. She's got her low cut jeans and her little crop top. That's back in a big way.
Is she going to the club? Is she going to soccer practice? I don't know. Both. It's a perfect day and tonight outfit.
She's 28. Okay. She's got places to go. She's got to be versatile.
I'm 21 years older than my sister. To do the math, I'm 28. How old are you? I'm 18.
Oh, good. Let's go. I wish he said 17. I wish he said 16.
Not that that deters people in Cape Side.
Oh.
Let's open it up.
Let's do it. Gail is a boss bitch. What were you going to say? Same thing?
I was going to say Gail is sick.
Gail is sick, but she is not letting it slow her down. She will make 4 decisions in a row. Rapid fire.
The men in her life are like, your body, our choice, go home. Go home.
Mitch honestly looks like a bouncer. His arms are crossed and he's ready to get her out of there.
This is the shirt I was talking about. Like, this is in.
It's in.
You want this shirt? You go to Zara. You go to TikTok shop. You're going to find it.
Maybe they should do a Mitch Leary collection on TikTok shop. Maybe we should do a Mitch Leary collection on TikTok shop. Are we missing an opportunity here?
Probably. That is what we do best. We love to miss opportunities. Okay, so she's sick. As we laid in last episode, Mitch and Gail were sick. Mitch is better. Gail's not. They're pushing her to go home.
If you remember, she said she had a stomach thing. Mitch had a cold. So they've kind of been sprinkling this stomach issue for the last few episodes.
Yes.
And then Gretchen, like a little rat, goes to her husband and son and says, look, she's sick. She's gaining weight. She's doing all these other things that would indicate she's pregnant. She's pregnant. Why doesn't she just talk to Gail?
She says, Gail might be sick, but she'll feel a lot better in 9 months.
Okay, Gretchen. Yeah, Gretchen's breaking girl code, in my opinion. She should have just talked to Gail. But from a writer's perspective, she had to say it in front of Dawson so that Dawson could be a part of this conversation from the start.
I'm just living for the wardrobe department. Okay, Gail's polka dot dress. No notes.
Yeah.
I want it. I can't wear it, but it would look good in my closet. Gretchen's like floral Hawaiian top. I don't know. It's like,
no, I hate that top.
She can go surfing after this. It's like, oh, I don't know. I'm living. It's like one of those quick dry shirts. What do they call them?
Gretchen got that shirt at like an old lady's boutique.
Pakistan.
I don't think so. I think she stole it from Graham's closet and tailored it to fit herself.
Are you not crazy? Graham's could never. Graham's wishes.
Evelyn was young once.
Genova. So going into titles, Mitch and Dawson are like, oh my God, she could be pregnant. Now when we come out of main titles, Mitch is nervously pacing. Dawson is nonplussed. He's downright pissed.
I can't believe you guys have sex all the time. This is what you get.
He is done. He's done with these two.
And Gail comes out and says, it's pink. Okay, Gail.
There is a weird thing where Mitch references if Dawson has taken the SATs yet, and Dawson says he's taken them twice. Yeah. Mitch, do better. I'm going to sign
it. Never comes back either. Okay. I thought it was going to be like, you didn't even know I took the SATs. How can you take care of a child? No, it's just Mitch being a deadbeat.
I mean, Dawson has a point. Dawson is just checking out his nails, and then he is storming off to Mr. Brooks's house.
And Mitch says, you don't have anything to say? Congrats.
Completely deadpan. Congratulations. Could you imagine storming on your mother's and dad's like parade like that? Storming on their parade, raining on their
parade. We are having too many soccer moms.
Raining on their parade.
Yeah, no, I couldn't. Truly, truly couldn't. Let me ask you a question. Next scene, Pacey, Joey making out on a porch. Is that the Potter B&B or is that Pacey's house?
I think it's Pacey and Gretchen's house.
It's so cute.
So cute. Gretchen is really leaning into like the plant lady thing, the plant mom.
There, but remember when they were like, oh my God, this shithole, who would ever live here? It's so cute.
And we were like, it's really nice. This is the scene where they're going at it and Pacey's like, no, we're stopping because you always stop and I want to stop and I never get to stop, so I'm going to stop. And he's being a little silly Billy.
But so is she. They're joking around until Joey's like, wait, is this a fight? Is this one of those times where it feels like we're joking, but we're actually having a fight? And Pacey's like, no, we're not. But you could tell it's lingering with her. It's a little seed of doubt has been planted in her heart.
I thought it was so real when she was like, is this a fight?
Yeah.
Is that not one? That really hit me. That was, I really related to that. I was like, wait, because I do that all the time.
You ask that or are asked that?
I asked that and are asked. I just asked it today. not a lot of Josh Jackson and Michelle Williams in this episode, but this was one pacey scene. We got him for this one.
Is there any Michelle Williams in this episode now that you say it?
Yeah, she's the one who convinces Joey to go to the clinic.
Right. Yeah, very little.
But there's only two Joshua Jackson scenes, right?
I guess that's true. The beginning and the end. But we talk about him the whole episode, so it felt like he was more present.
Yeah, there must have been scheduling issues because there's no way that they wouldn't write Pacey out of this much of an episode, I don't think, unless they had to.
Yeah.
So Jack, with his little dislocated shoulder, and Andy are coaching Pee-wee soccer.
I think it's a very cute idea. Andy put it together because she wants Jack to have something to put on his college applications. But they just look the part. They are straight out of an Abercrombie catalog, to be honest. I mean, not like the buff kind, but like... But then they are buff. They're just very covered up.
The sweatsuit edition.
Yeah. Maybe American Eagle. Maybe not Abercrombie.
For sure. Molly hates soccer. She doesn't want to be there. Jack is like, by the end of the season, I'll make you love it. Here comes Carolyn.
I don't trust little blonde kids.
Weren't you a little blonde kid?
No. I actually, my hair when I was born was black. And then it turned brown. And then it got lighter.
Maybe you were switched at some point. There's no way you were born with black hair.
You've never seen my baby picture?
I don't believe you. I don't believe women. I'm Dawson.
God.
Don't put that in.
No, I'm putting it in.
Redacted.
Hold on, wait 30 seconds and I want to show you my baby picture.
Oh my God. That is black.
My parents used to call me Joan Jett.
I can see it. Oh my God, that is so wild.
So yeah, and I will never trust a blonde kid. Children of the corn, if you ask me.
Well, these kids are miserable. Molly in particular just hates soccer. And Jack's like, look, by the end of the season, you'll love it. Mr. Brooks, meanwhile, at his house, Dawson is painting because they damaged Mr. Brooks's boat in the Pacey Jen rescue attempt. Dawson's working off his debt and Mr. Brooks hates the job that Dawson's doing. And then he goes looking through Dawson's stuff and looks at his photographs and is like, these are trash.
Uninspired. Terrible. He says, you didn't take this one on purpose, did you?
Savage.
He's perfect. Mr. Brooks is exactly what Dawson needs in this moment because Dawson is serving attitude and Mr. Brooks is like, oh, honey, you don't even know the amount of attitude that I can serve right back to you. He says, he says to Dawson, he comes outside and he's like, why are you so melancholy? And Dawson's like, I'm not, I'm just painting the house. And he's like, worried which pom-pom girl to ask to the pep rally. Okay, Mr. Brooks.
Oh my God. He's not having it. He's basically like the new Mrs. Kennedy and Nikki Green.
Yeah.
He's here to tell Dawson that his art sucks.
Just because you like to do art doesn't mean your art is good, Dawson.
And Dawson's like, please leave my personal property alone.
And he's like, funny that the man who crashed my boat would give me a lecture about personal property.
I mean, he has a point. Dawson stole his personal property, so.
I love it.
You go, Mr. Brooks.
I'm team Mr. Brooks on this one.
Me too, honestly. I'm living for his little button up that's buttoned all the way right up.
He doesn't want anything getting in there.
That's kind of like the style too.
I'm telling you, this could be our opportunity. Start a TikTok shop.
Not my style.
Next scene, we're in the cafeteria. Love a cafeteria scene.
Love a cafeteria scene.
Joey is spiraling.
Joey is spiraling.
And Jen's like, what's wrong? And Joey's like, nothing. And Jen's like, is this about sex? Just so funny. Classic Lindley asking the hard-hitting questions.
And Joey's like, Pacey's getting frustrated. And Jen's like, no, he loves you. And Joey's like, I'm getting frustrated, but I just don't know if I'm ready.
And Jen's like, you're never going to be ready if you're not prepared. And Joey's like, what on God's green earth are you talking about? Jen says, it was a rite of passage for all of us in New York. Go to the free clinic, get yourself some education, get yourself some protection. Do it. Prepare yourself.
Yeah.
And they seal it with a little clink clink of their Nantucket nectar.
All of this makes me want to be dead. I just, any talk of like clinics, I don't know. I get so uncomfortable and nervous.
Thinking about it in general or in high school?
Yeah, like then.
Yeah.
And I called the lady a nurse in the recap. I don't know if she was a nurse or a doctor or I don't know what she was because I've never been to one.
I think she was a nurse only because at the top of that scene, she says, did you make an appointment with the doctor to get a exam or whatever?
Oh, right. Get that lab coat off, you scammer.
You're just a receptionist. Who gave you that lab coat?
Gail's doctor's office looks suspiciously like the Yacht Club. Just saying.
Well, my brain this time watching it, and I think probably the first time watching it too, went to, oh, Gail and Mitch are going to see Joey at the doctor's. Like, Joey's going to go to the doctor's and then Gail and Mitch are going to be there. And then I was like, no, Gail is a grown woman with a real gynecologist and Joey's going to the free clinic. But wouldn't that have been good?
That would have been so good. That would have been so good. Because it's canon that Gail has talked to Joey about the dangers of sex and she's even given her a book.
Yeah, obviously she didn't read it.
Joey's read it. And she's ready. Well, she thinks she's ready.
There's no way to know.
This is where Gail's like, I don't know if we could do this. And Mitch is like, we can and we will. It's too late. And she's like, it's not too late. We could terminate this.
She's like, there's one thing that we both know that we're not saying out loud. Okay, Gail. But, you know, we love a queen recognizing her right to choose. She knows what's on the table. She knows what her options are. She's not making a decision just yet, but she's not ruling anything out. And she's being open and honest with her partner about that. And I think that's important.
Amen, sister.
All right. Then we go to the cringiest part of this episode for me. Your cringiest part is the free clinic. And my cringiest part is Caroline hitting on Jack. So we go back to the soccer field and Caroline comes up to Jack and she's like, hey, I'm Caroline. My sister's Molly. Mom had me when she was... What did she say?
She said, Mom had Molly when I was 21. That makes me 28. I'm coming in strong. You're shy. I mean, I'm kind of living for Carolyn.
I'm not. I can't actually stand her. This scene isn't as bad as the next scene for me, but she's just kind of like, why? What's wrong? You think I'm flirting? Because I am. She's just really hammering it home.
She went to that soccer. She's like, if I have to take my sister to soccer practice, I'm getting a date from somebody around here.
Look at all these dads. None of these dads want to go on dates with me.
All these married men. Oh, look, a coach. The dislocated shoulder, just my type.
Oh, look, a high school student. I'm going to my 10-year reunion next week. Perfect.
Yeah, that part's cringe. Because when he says his age, she is not deterred.
She does not flinch. She does not flinch. Anyway, she's a creep, but whatever. Jack kind of stumbles over himself. He's like, I'm, and she's like, you're what? And he's like, I'm, and she's like, you're shy? And he's like, yeah, I'm shy. Singing about saying he's gay, but he's not. He's not quite ready yet.
I'll be honest. I think she's cute.
No, she's fine. She's just a predator.
All you've been saying is how good Jack looks.
Look, Jack looks good, and Jack is probably 28. So in real life, Kerr Smith looks like a man. So I get it, but...
Well, can we blame Caroline, I don't know what her name is, for thinking the same?
Yeah, but no means no, you know? Pacey said it, and it's just true. No means no, she's not listening.
It's true.
Case closed.
Amen.
Then we've got Dawson and Gretchen, and they're just so cute. He's taking pictures of her. They're like doing a little flirty thing.
And has someone gotten highlights?
Maybe. She looks good in this scene. Her shirt is cute. It can go in our TikTok shop. She's got this like renewed sense of energy. She's home. She's settled in. She knows that she's back here and this is what her life is now. And I think it's suiting her.
Yeah. They almost get hit by a car. And then he's like, Mr. Brooks thinks my pictures are trash and my mom is pregnant.
What's up with you?
She's like, your pictures aren't trash. And I knew your mom was pregnant. And he's like, she's so irresponsible. She's in her 40s.
She's basically dead. And Gretchen's like, hey, did you ever think about how she feels? Oh my God. And that was like a mind explosion. Cracked wide open.
He was like, my mom? She has feelings?
Why would I think about that? Don't be ridiculous.
Don't be ridiculous. And the way Gretchen talks about Gail's pregnancy and the baby growing inside her, what she must be feeling, Dawson clocks this is very interesting. Like we don't know until later, but Dawson senses maybe Gretchen knows a little too well what that's like.
Yeah, maybe she's not just empathizing. Maybe she's been there before.
Maybe she's remembering. And she basically gets through to Dawson pretty quickly. You're crazy. Then we're off to the clinic with Joey.
This felt very real to me. Not that I ever went to a free clinic, but I did go to the gynecologist in high school. And the like beating her over the head with like sex is scary and bad and all of these things. That's really how it went for me. And I was like, I'm a virgin. Same as Jim.
She was like, do you have HPV and chlamydia? And you're like, I don't know, maybe.
Maybe. Did my mom give it to me? Did she pass it to me at birth? I don't know.
No, this is so real. Still, to this day, when I go to the doctor and they're like, do you want the STD test? And I'm like, no, I think I'm good. Like, I've been in a relationship for 8 years. They're like, are you sure? Are you 100% positive? I'm like, is it covered? Is it free? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, throw it in. I don't know.
Yeah, they've obviously seen some stuff at these clinics and doctors. They're like, oh, you're in a relationship. You're probably dying of an STI, actually.
I told you about my elbow, right?
Is it an STI?
So the short story of this is recently my elbow like blew up like double the size of the other one, like the tip where the bone is. And it turns out you have something in your elbow called a bursitis. And I had bursitis, which is like the inflammation of this like tendon or whatever the bursitis is in your elbow. I didn't really know what was happening to my elbow. It was just like every time I touched, you know, the desk or something, my elbow would really hurt. It was like painful to the touch, but that was it. And so I go to the doctor for it, and he's like, I think we should run an STD test. I'm sorry, what? He's like, yeah, just to rule it out. And I was like, my elbow? And he was like, yeah, you never know if like it's an infection. You never know where like the infection's coming from. And it was crazy.
What?
So of course I was like, yeah, I guess. I was like, you're right. It could be an STD. Do it.
Rule it out.
But then afterwards, I was like, was he just trying to like squeeze me for like an insurance like bill? I don't really know what was happening. But when I Googled elbows and STDs, nothing really came up.
Was this a real doctor?
It's the doctor I go to all the time. He's the one who convinces me every time I should get an STD test.
Look, you might want to get a new doctor.
I know. I've actually been thinking that for a really long time.
It's reminding me of, I just listened to an interview with Halle Berry. Halle Berry's been doing like all of these interviews because she's starting up this new perimenopause app or something to support women through perimenopause. But she went to the doctor one day because she was having pain after sex like the next day. And the doctor checked her out and he's like, I know what this is. I've seen this before. This is herpes. And she was like, what? And he was like, yeah, this is definitely herpes. We'll do the test. But, you know, you should go talk to your partner. So she has a boyfriend, a long-term boyfriend. And she's like, it was the best relationship I've ever been in. And she's been married like 3 times. And she was like, you gave me herpes? And he's like, I did not give you herpes. And turns out it wasn't. It was just perimenopause.
You know what? My doctor's really young. And I think I've learned that, like, I prefer an old doctor.
Older than me, for sure.
I mean, like, born in the 50s,
75.
60s. Yeah.
Nearing retirement.
They've seen everything. They've seen swollen elbows. They know what's an STD and what's not. Anyway, we've taken a real left turn. The point is, this is a relatable scene. When you're in that room, they convince you you have something wrong with you.
They're even convincing Halle Berry. So it's not just us.
And, you know, I was a Joey for a long time. So I would do this for years, like even in my early 20s, mid 20s, I would go in and to the doctor, I'd have a problem and they'd be like, we need to run an STD test. And I was like, I think that's a good idea. Reason for that to be happening, but I was like, yeah, that's a good idea.
Definitely.
Run the panel. Well, she leaves Joey with a huge bag of protection. Huge.
Joey's like, I'll take it. Get me out of here. Get me out of here.
And then we go to Jack and Andy, who confesses the real reason he did not tell Caroline. Which one is it?
Caroline.
That he's gay. And that's because, you know, he doesn't want it getting around Cape Side, that he's gay and working with children. He just doesn't want that to enter this arena. He wants to just be a soccer coach. He doesn't want to be like a gay rights
activist. Yeah.
Coach. He doesn't want to be an activist. He doesn't want to make a statement. He just wants to live life.
And I think that's right. I think there's no reason for him to have to tell anyone that he's gay.
For sure.
This really bothered me, actually. That might be my past first present of like, I guess when you're young or when you're in high school, you think that you have to, like, you owe people information. But if I was him, I would have been lying left and right, or I would have been like, I'm just not interested. Lay off, Caroline. But instead, he feels obligated to tell her that he's gay.
Yeah. Dawson, meanwhile, is like, look, mom and dad, you were right. I should have been happier for you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's like, take your apology and shove it, Dawson. Take your fake apology. We're not having this baby.
He's so happy to have a little brother or sister. And then Mitch is like, we're not going to have it. I really enjoyed the ebbing and flowing roller coaster of this episode with Dawson. Yeah, it worked for me.
He really goes on a journey with the acceptance of this pregnancy.
But I like how, like, when he's here, they're down here. And when he's down here, they're up here. And it really worked, I thought, story-wise.
For sure. I truly cannot imagine what Gail is going through in this episode, though. She's Mary Margaret plays this really well. You can just like see she's always got a little tear in her eye. She's always like on the edge. She doesn't really know what she wants to do. The uncertainty is very clear. I think it's a really good episode for her.
She admits that she suspected she was pregnant for a while. And when they were confronting her in the kitchen, she was just kind of in denial because she kind of worried about this and worried about what she would do if she were pregnant. And she feared that this would be her decision. And she kind of just says, you know, I have a lot of guilt over what I did to this family. You know, I cheated. Yes, we're together now, but I don't think I've always been a good mother to you. And Dawson says, you know, please don't use me as the reason not to do this. You know, if you're going to choose this, choose it on your own. Don't use me. And it's actually like a really good fight and a good scene. Very layered, very complex.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, you know what? I can't do this again. I can't have another kid that I screw up and I can't make the same mistakes again. And it's very real, I thought. I mean, I don't know, obviously, what she's going through or what it's like to make that decision. But I just thought, oh, it felt very genuine. Yeah.
And Mitch is standing by her and standing by her decision and saying, like, yeah, he's fully on board with it. And Gail saying, Dawson, your father's being nice. Like, this is all on me. This is my decision. This is like what I want to do all around. I thought it was very good. A good scene.
Yeah. And then the next morning, Mitch checks in with Dawson and he lets Dawson know it took them 3 years to have him. And then for 5 years after that, they tried to give him a sibling because Mitch always wanted a big family. But eventually he realized, you know, the three of them are enough. You know, they might not be a big family, but they have the same amount of love that a big family would have. And it is enough for Mitch. And so that kind of gets Dawson to realize, you know, the three of them are enough. And it's cute. You know, I always love a Mitch Dawson scene.
And Mitch says to Dawson and reminds Dawson, it's her body, it's her decision.
Yeah.
Dawson's like, well, what if it's the wrong decision? Listen here, Dad.
But you know what? Maybe the past versus present of it all is that now we don't need to say those things. But back then, maybe they did need to be said. I mean, I don't really remember those times clearly when it comes to these issues. I was younger. But, you know, maybe back then it wasn't a conversation. Maybe it was more of a no-brainer for a mom in her 40s to have it, or I don't know.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, maybe this episode, you know, we look at it now, we're like, oh my God, this, it's crazy. It's so out of touch. But yeah, maybe it wasn't then. You know, maybe they thought they were really trying to move the needle here and getting us to where we are today, which is, it's Gail's decision.
It should be. Listen to our new politics podcast coming in 2026. Just kidding.
Bessie finds all the condoms, all the stuff.
I love this scene. I love that it was just so real and relatable to have Bessie yelling to Joey. Joey's not there. She's like, oh, I'm talking to an empty room. She's putting her laundry away. Like, it didn't feel forced. It didn't feel like, oh my God, I'm stumbling upon these condoms. And like, it just felt very natural and real to me.
Yeah. Caroline is after Jack once again, but Andy steps in and she says, I'm her girlfriend. Caroline's like, you're his sister. And she's like, yeah, but I know his girlfriend, Natasha Boyardee.
And Jack's like, really? Boyardee?
And Caroline is wearing another day-to-night outfit. Another I'm going clubbing after soccer practice outfit. Her full midriff is showing. She's here to get a man. She's here to get a man, or she's going to die trying.
But it's also kind of business casual on top. I don't know. It's a little weird. It's a look.
Amen.
And she's like, Jack can speak for himself. And Andy's like, it's not going to happen. And she's like, why? And finally, Jack just says, because I'm gay. And Caroline's like, oh, what? You thought that I was... No, I knew that. She's, I knew.
Like, yeah, whatever. I knew. It's like not a big deal or anything.
Really, Caroline? Really?
And then we go to a scene that looks like it was out of Twilight. Where are they?
They're on a bridge. They're on a bridge in the forest.
They look like they're in the Pacific Northwest. It's like torrential storm clouds. I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's happening here, but that is not Cape Side. Okay, that's not my Cape Side.
Hashtag not my Cape Side.
It looks like the Catskills.
Yeah, it does look a little... It's not a creek. It's certainly a lake. It's certainly a different body of water.
Giving upstate New York, not so much North Carolina, in my opinion. Let's get to the bottom of this. Where was this shot for real? Enough lying to us, Dawson's Creek.
The great scandal of Dawson's Creek season 4, one scene shot in the Pacific Northwest.
So this is where Dawson is like, you were pregnant, weren't you?
Yeah. He's like, I think you went through what my mom's going through. And Gretchen's like, yeah, I got knocked up in the backseat of my boyfriend's car listening to Leonard Skinner, and I hate Leonard Skinner.
Poor Gretch.
Tough road, Gretch. But she found herself with a not great GPA, a boatload of loans, and a baby in her belly. And she was like, oh no. And she made a decision. We don't know what that decision was, because she woke up a week later and she had had a miscarriage.
And the decision was made for her, but she still felt super guilty about even thinking about it, which makes me think her decision was to keep it.
Yeah, we don't know.
We don't know. But that's what makes me think that it was. And that's why I think she was so devastated when she miscarried. And, you know, we know that she took the semester off. And now we know why. Because she just had a lot going on.
Now we know why.
We know Gretchen's big secret.
She's choosing to take some time.
And then we go to the Potter B&B.
This scene is wild.
Patrons are getting a show.
Yeah, the scene is wild. There's a full table of guests, which I guess really is only like 4 or 5 people. And Bodie, Bessie, and Joey. And Joey's talking about how she was at Pacey's studying all night. And Bessie says, I'm sure you were. And they have an entire blow up about Bessie finding the condoms and how she thinks that Joey and PC are having sex.
I was almost waiting for Joey to be like, you're one to talk.
I know. I kept waiting for that to come, but it didn't. Nothing slowed down this conversation. The guests get up from the table and walk away because they're really going at it. And Joey's finally like, I'm not having sex, okay? But I'm going to, so get used to it.
It's so funny because when Bessie says sex, yeah, everyone just gets up and scatters.
And Joey's like, I am the oldest 17-year-old in Capeside. I have been dealing with consequences my entire life.
Amen. She really has. Her dad's, Bessie's, or Joe. And then we go to the soccer field where Molly's like, look, everyone's quitting the team because the dads say that
you're dangerous.
You're dangerous. So we think the pipeline was Caroline went home, told their parents. Their dad called the other dads.
I guess. And Caroline's parents just don't care. So Molly's still there.
So Jack's worst fears are coming true. Him being gay is invading this thing that was supposed to just be like a fun extracurricular kind of thing. And it's really sad.
It is sad. But it's cute that Molly says, it's okay, Coach Jack. They're all jerks. And I know you're not dangerous. Which is a sweet moment between the two of them. But it sucks. It really sucks. And he didn't, again, in my opinion, absolutely did not need to tell her that he was gay. But
yeah. And Molly's finally coming out of her shell a little bit. Like, as we know, she didn't really want to do soccer. She wasn't there for it. And this is kind of bringing her out of her shell a little bit. He struggled to bond with her in the beginning. She wouldn't really talk to him. And now they're bonding. So that's coming out of it, which is good. And then we have Bodie and Alexander. Alexander, like fashion icon Alexander.
So much happening in this scene. Alexander's everything. There's a like knockoff Barney doll, a like purple dinosaur. And there's two swans swimming in the creek.
I was hoping we would talk about the swans.
They're paid actors.
The swans.
Alexander is so freaking cute. Oh my God.
So cute. You know, Bodie basically just says, your sister really cares about you. She wants more for you than she had for herself, which is, you know, the pregnancy of Alexander, although they love him, like kind of, you know, blew up Bessie's life. And Joey has a lot of potential and she does not need that happening to her. And also, if you're thinking this much about sex, then you probably shouldn't be having it.
For sure. Bodie, voice of reason, calm and steady all the time. It's nice that she has him there to talk to.
Yeah. We just love a Bodie moment. We love an Alexander moment.
We love swans, you know?
Love swans. Do we? Because I feel like
I think they're nasty. One...
I feel like one ran after me once.
Yeah, I do think they're pretty nasty.
So, redacted. Hate swans.
Oh my God, we hate swans.
Hate swans.
Print it.
Dawson stumbles upon Gail and Mitch, very cutesy, cuddling, watching a movie. And he was like, Mom, you were the best mom I ever could have had. My childhood wasn't perfect, but it was real and it was just what I needed. And you're the best parents I ever could ask for. And any baby would be lucky to have you.
And Gail's really taking it in. It's a very sweet speech.
The line about not having a perfect child is a little, I don't know. I get the sentiment, but.
I feel like they had to touch on the infidelity of it all.
You're right. When you're right, you're right.
You gave me something real and I wouldn't change a thing. Okay, Dawson.
We are back at Pacey and Gretchen's house, which I don't know if you noticed, there's a Potter's B&B sign in the background.
Flag, yeah.
Is it the flag from, no, because Dawson sailed for Potter B&B at the regatta. Well, look, the Witter Shorehouse is so cute. They are big into mountain biking.
I love bikes. Oh my God. Maybe Gretchen and Dawson biked over to the Pacific Northwest into the forest.
I just love that Joshua Jackson clearly shot like one day this week. And it was at the Witter Shorehouse. It was a day scene. It was a night scene. Boom, that's a wrap on Joshua. And they decide, you know what? Well, Pacey's shocked to learn that his little joke landed so seriously with Joey and that she went to the clinic and all these things. And he's like, look, I was just joking. I was just doing like a little bit to just try to get us talking about sex. And he's like, I would never want to pressure you into doing anything you don't want to do. And she's like, well, until then, there's other stuff we could do. Hint, hint, wink, wink, nod, nod.
Yeah, but he's like, I'm like, what? And she's like, I could kiss you. Joey, I'm sick of kissing you. I know.
But I think it was the writer's way of saying like they're doing other stuff.
Yeah, sure.
Because that was my question. You know, when they came back and they said they didn't have sex all summer or whatever, when she told Dawson that, I was like, well, are they doing other stuff? Speaking of the boat and coming back, we did not talk about how in the Bessie Joey fight, Joey was like, what do you care what I do? Like, you let me go on a boat the whole summer. And Bessie was like, I didn't let you go. Like, you just went. Which I feel like was good that they answered that question. Because I know even when we posted like the finale episode, we were just like, she's just going? Like, she just doesn't need to call Bessie, ask Bessie?
Pack a bag? Anything?
Well, she did.
She changed her clothes.
She did go home. Yeah, she went home to change after the wedding, which bothers me. Like, that's a big note I have. She should have just went straight to the boat.
Especially if she wasn't going to pack a bag.
And she's worried about Pacey leaving. You just get to that damn dock.
Agreed.
So Andy and Jack have a really cute sibling scene where she's like, look, you were yourself. Like, you've struggled so long with this. Don't beat yourself up now because some people in this town have a problem with it. You did the right thing. You shouldn't have to hide yourself.
He's like, I'm a good person. And she's like, you're a good person.
We can assume all the soccer field scenes were shot in one day as well, right? Just knowing what we know.
Probably.
I wonder if this was supposed to be like a bottle episode or like an episode to save money. I mean, I know it's not a true bottle. A bottle episode is when it's shot in one set or they use all existing sets. But I wonder if this was like a let's save money episode. And then Mr. Brooks is like, Dawson, you suck at painting, but this one photo, this is definitely your best work. You really connected with the subject. And it's Gretch.
I know, but they really play it out well. He's like, this one's actually not bad. This is the first picture that makes a connection with the subject. This is the first one that I've seen a bit of you in. And you don't see the photograph. And then it kind of like pans around as Dawson's looking at it. And even though I watched Dawson take about 100 pictures of Gretchen and then develop 100 pictures of Gretchen, I definitely thought for a moment that it was going to be Joey.
Oh, yeah. Me too. I was wondering who it would be.
Yeah. And then I saw it and I was like, oh yeah, duh, of course. And it's a nice moment. But the way that he was describing it, I was fully expecting to see Joey.
Yes. But then also part of me was like, is it going to be Gail? I didn't really know where it was going. Like, honestly, you know, like a nice mother photo. And I didn't know what the hell was happening. But I'm glad that it was Gretchen.
Yeah. It was a very sweet moment.
And then we go to a little montage. I didn't cover in the recap. But Joey and Bessie are doing dishes. They've kind of buried the hatchet. Jack is kind of roaming the soccer field. He's very sad. And Dawson is developing photos, lots of Gretchen photos. And Mitch and Gail, specifically Gail, Mitch walks in on it. They're looking at Dawson's baby photos.
She's deep in the baby book. She is mulling it over. She's reliving his youth.
Yeah.
What will they do? We don't know.
I love it. I live for the drama of this.
It's a great episode. I do see what you're saying about it being tonally a little bit different and outside of our norm, but I love it.
Yeah, it was just like, as we said, like a very mature episode, but I did like it. Just, you know, definitely interesting for the show.
Yeah, and it set up a lot of stuff. A lot of, will Joey and Pacey have sex? Will Dawson and Gretchen have something going on? Will Mitch and Gil have a baby? What's Jack's next turn going to do? Is this going to blow up into something bigger?
Yeah, it sets up a lot of questions. Definitely like a setup episode. Not filler, but definitely teeing up a lot of stuff. Well, that is a wrap. What will we be having for our Dawson's drink next time for
next
episode 406?
Next week, we will be drinking ecstasy. It is cognac, dry vermouth, and honey whiskey.
Wow, that sounds like really, that's like a sipper for sure for me.
For sure, for sure.
That's a great episode. I'm really excited.
It's exciting stuff. Looking forward to it.
Episode 406, which is called Great Expectations. X-P-E-T.
Oh, clever.
So as one might suspect, the ecstasy that Drew Valentine gave Jen last episode for her fake birthday might be coming back. We'll see.
How? In what way? With who? I don't know.
Okay, we should end on that.
We'll talk to you guys next week.
Okay, bye.